Aldous Huxley's Brave New World presents a nightmare future in which humans are no longer born, but cloned, hatched in incubators to perform predetermined roles in a worldwide corporate slave state. Everyone has a rigidly defined place in this social order. The book is often regarded as a mere flight of fancy. But in a speech at Berkeley in 1962, the year before his death, Huxley conceded that the ideas in the book came not from an overactive imagination, but from real developments in the sciences that were beginning to make likely for the first time a type of scientifically crafted dictatorship.
Well, it seems to me that the nature of the ultimate revolution with which we are now faced is precisely this, that we are in process of developing a whole series of techniques which will enable the controlling oligarchy, who have always existed and presumably always will exist, to get people actually to love their servitude. This is seems to me the ultimate in malevolent revolution, shall we say. And this is a problem which has interested me for many years, and about which I wrote 30 years ago a fable, The Brave New World. And I have noticed with increasing dismay that a number of the predictions which were purely fantastic when I made them 30 years ago have come true or seem in process of coming true.
Although it may sound like Huxley is speaking of these scientific developments as an arm's-length observer, in fact, his family had stood at the very center of Western science for decades. When Aldous's grandfather, T.H. Huxley, became known as Darwin's Bulldog for his strident defense of Darwin's theory of evolution. The relationship between the Darwins, the Huxleys, the Galtons, and the Wedgwoods is a long and intimate one, with these famed British families becoming obsessed with inbreeding to preserve their family lines and genetic traits. This obsession with genetics sprang from Francis Galton, one of Charles Darwin's cousins. Galton developed the theory of eugenics, the idea that the poor, the handicapped, and other unfit groups are the results of bad genes that must be eliminated from the gene pool. This theory became notorious as the Nazi justification for the Holocaust, but was carried on in elite scientific circles by men like Julian Huxley, president of the Eugenics Society, and Aldous Huxley's brother. Julian was a prominent scientist and activist, co-founding the World Wildlife Fund and becoming the first president of UNESCO, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. In the founding document of UNESCO, entitled UNESCO, Its Philosophy and Its Purpose, Julian Huxley writes, "It is, however, essential that eugenics should be brought entirely within the borders of science. For, as already indicated, in the not very remote future, the problem of improving the average quality of human beings is likely to become urgent, and this can only be accomplished by applying the findings of a truly scientific eugenics." Julian Huxley was preceded as president of the Eugenics Society by another of the Huxley-Darwin-Galton relatives, Sir Charles Galton Darwin. In his book, The Next Million Years, written 10 years before Aldous Huxley's speech at Berkeley, he wrote that we would have to put up with human nature for a million years, or the time it takes for a new species to evolve, unless we could have an internal revolution. This would come about if means were discovered of deliberately altering human nature itself. As an example, he reflects, "Life in the crowded conditions of cities has many unattractive features. But in the long run, these may be overcome, not so much by altering them, but simply by changing the human race into liking them. He also advocates the institution of a world government to bring about these eugenics policies, saying, "If then there is ever to be a world government, it will have to function as governments do now, in the sense that it will have to coerce a minority, and indeed it may often be a majority, into doing things they do not want to do." Steeped in this milieu, perhaps it is not surprising that Aldous Huxley wrote such a book, exploring the possibility of a eugenical world dictatorship. Was Huxley warning us of what was to come, or merely telling us? Was this something he feared, or something he desired? Whichever the case, his brother, for one, had very specific ideas about the proper function of works of art like Brave New World. Another function of art exists in the field of public relations. Every country has now woken up to the need, in our complex modern world, of public relations, which is but a new name for propaganda, that term which unhappily has grown tarnished through misuse. In a world which must be planned, governments must often assume initiative and leadership, and for this leadership to be effective, the general public must be informed of the problem and of what is in the government's mind.
To get people actually to love their servitude.